In May of this year, elections are taking place for the City of York Council. So we're talking elections today with Bryn Roberts. Bryn is the Director of Governance, I think, Bryn, at City of York Council.
Yes, indeed.
And the Deputy Returning Officer.
I am, yes, for my...
Which is all connected with the way the elections work. Just to start us off, what does a Deputy Returning Officer do?
My job is essentially to make sure that the election runs as it needs to. The person who's actually in overall charge is the Returning Officer. That's Ian Floyd. He's obviously our Chief Operating Officer. I am a deputy. I have what's called full powers. So that means that I can act and do anything that Ian can. Predominantly, my role at the moment is making sure that all of the preparations are done, that all of our polling stations are booked, that all our staff are in place, that we've ordered ballot papers, that we've ordered everything else we need to, that all the staff are trained, and that essentially the council is ready to run an election.
There's a lot of things involved in this, Bryn, that people just don't think about. Aren't they? So one of the things you mentioned there was booking the polling stations. I mean, that must be a mammoth task
it's huge.
How many polling stations will you have in York?
We have 130 polling stations. Wow. By the time we've staffed them all completely, we're looking at the neck end of 400 people just to run polling stations and to make sure that the stations are running as they need to. So again, as well as staff who are in the station, so you have a presiding officer who is in charge of each polling station, and then you have a number of poll clerks who are there to help the presiding officer. You also have what we call PSIs, so the polling station inspectors, and they will travel around a number of different stations and do an overall view to make sure that each station is open on time and looks right and people can access it easily, and all of those sort of good things.
The polling stations themselves, I remember a long time ago when I was at school, you got a day off on polling day because most of the polling stations were in schools. Is that still the case now, or do you try to avoid schools a little bit more?
So we use schools quite a lot. One of the quirks of electoral legislation is that we have the ability to close schools if we wish. Mm. Because they are council-controlled buildings generally, and obviously in these days of academies, that's not quite the same case, but we are still able to use academies in the same way. But it very much depends on what facilities there are in each given polling district. So what you have for these elections is you have 21 wards across the council. Each ward is then broken down into smaller chunks called polling districts. And what we try and do is look for an appropriate facility within those. So it could be a scout hut, it could be, you know, a council building of some sort. It could be, as I say, a school. It could be, we've used pubs in the past, I've used hairdressers, anything that works, that's got to be some kind of local facility. So people aren't walking miles to a polling station.
So this happens every 4 years in York. So this is an all-out election. So all of the councillors are being elected this time around in May.
Yeah, so we have all 47 councillors are up for either re-election or new election. So we've got a number of councillors who are standing down. Obviously, most notably, the leader, Councillor Aspden, is stepping away from his council duties. So all 47 seats are up for grabs. Some of those are straightforwards. You've got some single-member wards where it's the traditional first-past-the-post. Some of the more complicated ones where you've got two or three members in a ward. And when you get to that, we are using what's called grass skirts for counting things.
I've seen those. Does that happen more with the smaller councils? Are there parish council elections running alongside in some areas?
We have parish council elections running alongside where they're contested. Now, some parish councils will be contested, some won't. It very much depends on the individual area and how many people put themselves forward to be parish councillors.
So is the grass skirt idea to cope where there's more than one winner, for want of a better way of putting it?
Yeah, absolutely. So where you've got more than one person that you can vote for on a ballot paper and therefore more than one councillor who will be elected, whether that be at a parish level or whether it be at the City of York level, we've got to have a way of tallying all of the votes, because on any given ballot paper, if you take a ward that's got three seats in it, there could be one, two or three votes on that paper. So we then have to work out how many votes each candidate has got. So that we do that in two ways. Firstly, there's what's called the block votes. So where you've got people who've just voted all Labour, all Liberal Democrat, all Conservative, they go into a pile on their own because that's the block. And then they're all counted as part of it. And the ones that might have somebody who's voted to Labour and a Liberal Democrat, or to Liberal Democrat and a Green, or whatever it might be, they go through the grass skirt process where each vote is marked off against a counting sheet. And then once you've done 25, you end up with an A3 piece of paper that's got a tally on it that you can then use to calculate who's won.
And is this all done in the middle of the night these days, or do you wait while the day after now?
No, we're
more civilised.
We are more civilised than that. So what we're doing this year is we have election day on the 4th of May. Polls will close at about 10 o'clock, depending on queues. Fingers crossed not. Ballots will be secured overnight. We have security guarding them overnight. And at 9 o'clock the following morning, we start the count process. So we're not counting until Friday the 5th.
Now, this is with City of York Council. I mean, there's a whole load of changes taking place in local government in just a few days' time, isn't there, really, at the end of March, with the abolition of a lot of the district and borough councils and the creation of this new North Yorkshire Council. But York isn't affected by that, is it?
So what's happening with local government reorganisation in North Yorkshire is that the various district councils that exist are ceasing to be their own bodies as at the end of March, and instead what you'll have is North Yorkshire Council rather than North Yorkshire County Council. And North Yorkshire Council will be a unitary authority like the City of York is. It'll be on a slightly larger scale, but it's will have the same functions and the same remit to deliver services.
So it does. So the councils would, in effect, do everything in the same way that City of York Council does.
Yes.
Because one of the questions that I suppose you get asked a lot is why isn't City of York Council being abolished? Is that because it's already a unitary authority?
In part, it's already a unitary authority. In part, it's because when the government was deciding the best fit that it considered for how services should be delivered, it considered that York delivered them perfectly well enough, and therefore there was no need to include us in the broader North Yorkshire conversation.
But you end up with this kind of donut arrangement now, don't
Absolutely.
You, where you're surrounded by the
Absolutely.
Other, by the one council. Interesting stuff. So in terms of preparing for the elections, these are once every 4 years, and everybody will think, you know, we'll worry about this the week before, but you'll be planning this months, years in advance?
Certainly we started planning meetings for this 6 months out from the election date itself.
Yeah.
Those will intensify in their regularity. So we started off having them once a month. That became once a fortnight. And as we hit April, they become weekly, just to ensure that everything's lined up, everything's ready to go. We've got the staffing who understand the changes that are coming in as a result of the Elections Act. The whole process is ready to go.
Talking of changes, now the biggest change this time around is to do with having to take identification with you when you go to the polling station. So tell us a little bit more about what's behind that, Bryn, and indeed then we'll get on to the nitty-gritty of what people actually have to do to be able to vote.
Sometime in 2021 or thereabouts, the government announced that it was going to try and change how voting works at polling stations in order to reduce cases of electoral fraud. In order to do that, what they've done is brought in a need to produce voter ID at a polling station, a proper photo ID, very much in the same way that Northern Ireland does. Now, Northern Ireland's been using this for two decades, but obviously it's a sea change for the rest of the UK. We've never had to do this.
So this is not just unique to York, then? Is this across the whole of the UK?
Across the whole of the UK, and it will be across every kind of election you can conceive of. In York this time round, we have, say, local council elections, we have parishes, and we have a neighbourhood planning referendum. And even with that, you're going to be required to have your photo ID in order to be allowed to receive a ballot paper.
We'll talk in a minute about what kind of ID you do need to take with you, but, you know, in the old days, he says, in inverted commas, you turn up, you get your polling card, gets shoved through the letterbox, you either take it with you to the polling station or you don't, and it always, I think, said on it, you don't need to take it with you. You went there, you told them who you were, and they look you up on the list, and they cross your name off, and they give you the ballot paper. If you turn up without ID, are you just going to get turned away from the polling station then?
Initially, yes. So what will happen is we're looking to employ additional staff at polling stations so that where people turn up without ID, they don't have to go in and be told that officially. They can be told that they need to go home and bring something that's appropriate in order to then return and be given their ballot papers. If they've ended up inside the polling station and explaining that they don't have a form of photo ID, what they will be told is you aren't entitled to receive a paper at the moment. You are welcome to go home, collect something, come back, and we will give you a paper at that stage, assuming that your photo ID is considered appropriate. But ultimately, if people turn up without a photo ID and don't have one, they may be refused a ballot paper.
So what kind of ID is acceptable then? Is there a long list of things that you've got a long list with you? I can see you're well prepared here.
I brought the list. So what you can do is you can go onto the government's website, the gov.uk website. That has a list of appropriate photo IDs. And many of the things are those that you would expect. So UK driving licence, UK passport, blue badge, pass card, defence identity card for those members of the serving members of the forces. And there's various branches of that. And then you also have things like an older person's bus pass, a disabled person's bus pass, freedom pass, and other.
So categories. There's plenty of options here. I mean, the obvious ones are going to be a driving licence and a passport, aren't they, which most people will have. But I know that's a fairly lengthy list, Bryn, but what if you genuinely don't have any of those? What can you do?
So if somebody has no photo ID at all that's appropriate, and bear in mind that an expired passport, an expired photo license is still acceptable as long as it still looks like you. If somebody has none of them at all, they can again go onto the gov.uk website and look for the voter authority certificate. The VAC, as it's known, is a free document. You click on a couple of links on the website. You put in your name, your date of birth, your address, your national insurance number, and you upload essentially a digital passport photo. That's all you need to do. As long as that people have done that before 5 p.m. on the 25th of April, and that's a very crucial date, they will receive through the post a printed certificate which they can use to prove that they are who they say they are when they go to vote.
Now, there is another way, isn't there, which is postal voting. Is this something that is really being encouraged now? And what's the take up?
In York, we have a relatively small number of postal votes compared to our electorate. So the electorate is about 145,000. We have about 16,500 postal votes. So it's a fairly small proportion. I would always encourage people to get a postal vote for no other reason than the practicality of you vote at home. Instead of having to turn out, no matter what the weather might be, potentially stand in queues and stand with your photo ID, your ballot paper turns up to you at home. You sign, put your signature in, you put your date of birth, punnel it back into an envelope and you stick it in the post.
And it's as simple as that.
And it's as simple as that.
Because all the verification is being done in advance and it's being sent to you, then the voter ID thing
doesn't apply.
In that
so
case.
What happens is when you apply for a postal vote, you still put in your name, your date of birth, your address and your national insurance number. And then that's enough information for us to verify through the various government and local government databases that you are who you say you are. You need to provide us with a specimen signature and that's enough. And then you don't have to worry about a photo ID because your ballot paper will just turn up at you rather than having to go out during the day.
Just give us just to wrap things up, Bryn, just give us a few kind of key dates that come in. The election itself is on...
So the election is on the 4th of May.
Yep.
7 a.m. polling stations will be open, come hell, high water or anything else that the world throws at us, till 10 p.m. or thereabouts, so depending on whether or not there are queues. The most fundamental dates, if somebody wants to apply for a postal vote, that deadline is 5 p.m. on the 18th of April. And then if somebody misses that deadline, the next key deadline is 5 p.m. on the 25th of April, so a week later, which is your VAC application date.
It's ID or no vote.
It's ID or no vote, unfortunately.
It's all interesting stuff. Literally, to wrap things up on, what happens to councillors, I suppose, is the question that I'm saying here. So the election takes place. When do the existing councillors stop being councillors? Or if they get voted in again, is it just a continuous process or is there a definite point between?
If they are voted in again, then their service will just continue.
Yeah.
If they are not voted again or if they choose not to stand again, then the legislation sets a time limit a few days after the election when they stop. So this year it will be Tuesday the 9th, I believe it is, of May. That is the end of their tenure as a councillor. And that's the end of the municipal term. And then we start all over again for another 4 years.
And the new councillors, if it's a completely new councillor who's getting elected for the first time, so when do they become a councillor at the point that the result is announced? Or is there anything that follows up from that?
No, so again, they won't take office until that Tuesday the 9th is when they officially become a councillor. What we've then got to do is we have a delightful declaration of acceptance of office book that they have to sign, and they've got a set period in which to do that in order to allow them to take up the office of councillor.
So on the day of the election, How will your day shape up on the actual election day? Are you out and about checking things? Are you in the office? Or,
the likelihood
is all your work done by then?
Oh, no. I wish. The likelihood is my day will start at the office at about 6:30. And then it will be a combination of being in the office and driving around stations. I may be acting as a polling station inspector. I may simply be floating around, making sure that there's a body there to do what needs to be done. That will run until the polls close at 10. I will then be at the count venue to make sure that all the ballot boxes are in and that we've receipted everything we need to. We've got all the ballot paper accounts, so we know how many papers we should be dealing with. Once all of that's done, probably 1 a.m.-ish, I shall try and roll off to bed for a short sleep.
Well, at least you get the chance to do that this time. If they're doing
Absolutely.
The count all night, it just used to carry on, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Really?
I have done 47 hours straight in the past,
wow.
And it's not good for you. So, yeah, hopefully I'll get 5 or 6 hours, Kip, and then I'll get back up and be back over at the racecourse to start again. I'll probably be there 7:30 on Friday morning until we're finished.
And how long do you think the process will take on the day? Recounts. Of course,
recounts could be a thing. It just depends on how close things are. If we are fortunate and with a fair wind behind us, 5 or 6 in the evening and everything will be done. And that sounds an awful long time. As I say, we've got 47 councillors plus all the parish councils plus the neighbourhood referendum to count. And before we do that, we've got to check the process is called verification. So we've got to check to make sure that we have the right amount of ballot papers in the ballot box compared to what we think we should have. It can be a lengthy process. We're not aiming to be like Sunderland. We're not aiming to be the fastest in the world.
They always have this thing at general election, don't they, where they try to be the first to declare, yeah. But that's just a bit of fun, isn't it, surely?
It is for them.
Is it fraught with danger?
It's potentially
quickly?
Fraught with danger. Yeah. I don't care about fast, I care about right.
Correct, absolutely.
Do it properly and then you don't get challenged.
Brilliant. Well, Bryn, I hope everything goes well for the elections. It'll be interesting to see what the outcome of it all is, and maybe we can have a chat with you again after the elections and you can let us know how it all went.
I'd be delighted.
Bryn,
thank you very much
indeed
for your time.
Joining us. Appreciate it. Cheers now.
Cheers.